And now from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter, verses 4b through 14. Paul writes very personally here. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let Paul's vision become the vision of our hearts and of this church. For your sake we pray. Amen. So what do you think of the new pope? Apropos of nothing. Seems like a pretty humble guy. Excuse me? I like St. Francis too, yeah. I kind of wish they had mail-in votes, don't you? I had my own candidates, so. I would have written in Dick Cheney, just to shake things up. You can imagine, you know, in the first week of Pope Dick's papacy, when the Vatican invades Luxembourg. I mean, it was just an idea. Anyway, dangerous sermon title this morning. I don't know if you noticed it. Whatever you do, don't go home today and tell your friends the sermon is rubbish this morning. Rubbish. Again, said Rabbi Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And finding one pearl of great value, he sold all that he had and bought it. Well, St. Paul had found his pearl of great price, hadn't he? And he sold everything he had in order to obtain it, did he not? It's true. It's true. St. Paul is one of my favorites, and it's kind of presumptuous to talk about one of the saints as your favorites, but I love the guy deeply. I really do. He's either in or he's out. He's yes or no, hot or cold. He's either boasting or he's bowing in humility, standing against Christ or standing to the death on behalf of the church. Whatever Paul did, he did it 100%. That's not to say that he was a black and white kind of person. Not at all. That's not what I mean. If you read Paul's theology, the developing theology from Romans through Philippians and Ephesians up in Colossians, you'll notice that there are many shades of color, many shades of gray. Not those shades of gray, but there's a sophisticated development going on in his work. Paul understands that there's no single answer to this great mystery of the faith, and he's always open to what the Lord is saying to him through the Holy Spirit. He grows and changes. There's great subtlety there. But personality-wise, Paul was an all-out kind of disciple. When he thinks he's landed on God's truth, he's on board all the way. Right? Whatever gains I had, listen to this, whatever gains I had, These I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish. That word rubbish means trash in Paul's Greek. Can you imagine in all honesty saying that? Can you imagine that? Now, I know you've done a lot for the Lord. You're dedicated members in this church, and I've seen what you do. I have too. Some days, and I'm being really honest now, some days I feel that as a pastor I've given up a lot. Sometimes more than I really wanted to give up. I'm being honest now. But has every accomplishment, every dream, every affection become as rubbish, that's Paul's word, in comparison to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord? I can't really say that's true. Not literally anyway, and I'm not even sure that's what Paul is really talking about. I don't think that's what he really means. My last church, we used to have a contemporary service every Sunday. We had three services every Sunday morning, and the third one was a contemporary service, which is a pretty good service. We sang praise songs. Do you like praise music? You do? Some of you do. I like some of it. Some of it I don't like so much. The ones I don't like go something like this. Jesus, I only want you. I don't want anything else. I want you, Jesus. I only want you 400 times. I only want you. Well, you know, I know the intention is good, right? But it just isn't true. It isn't true. I don't want Jesus. I want my wife. I want my kids, right? I want my church. I want my friends. I want a house to live in. I want good food to eat. I want many things, not just Jesus. I mean, let's be honest, right? That kind of language is a little bit misleading. Paul's not suggesting that we don't need these things. We shouldn't have affection for these things. We shouldn't love the people brought into our lives. He's saying rather that he's comparing the very greatest gift possible with everything else, right? The greatest things to everything else. A little bit like comparing the light of a lamp in your house with the light of the sun. There's no comparison, right? There's no comparison, right? I'm going to tell my wife, Margaret, you said that. I'm going to tell her that you agree with me. Do you keep lights on in your house in the daytime? Anybody? Some of you do. Some of you don't. My wife does. She'll walk into a room and turn on a light. I'll walk in behind her and turn it off. She doesn't notice. She'll come back into the room and turn the light back on again. I'll turn it off. At least half the people in our marriage get really annoyed by this. I can't really understand why you need a light in a room with that beautiful sunlight pouring in. For me, the need just isn't there. But whether or not we turn lights on in the house or don't in the daytime, we will all agree that compared with the sun's light, everything else literally pales in comparison. True. True. Once St. Paul was blinded by the light, you remember his road to Damascus experience, there was no other light that compared. All the wonderful things in his life, his heritage as a Hebrew, his fine education, his devout dedication to the law of Moses, as wonderful as these gifts were, and they were wonderful gifts. Paul was a gifted man. As great as these gifts were, the gift of faith in Jesus Christ was infinitely greater. It made everything else seem like a dim bulb. Now, we might feel inferior in our faith when we read about St. Paul's testimony. What an incredible faith he had. But I do not believe it was his intention to make us feel inferior. Rather, I think we are supposed to be encouraged by it. You ever been taken by a friend to a new restaurant, and the friend's really enthusiastic? This is the greatest place in the world. You're going to love the food. You've never had anything like this in your life. You had that experience? Better be good. Well, there you go. Paul is your enthusiastic friend in the faith. He's discovered the greatest thing in the world, the key to a happy, useful life. The key to eternal life, too. And he wants nothing more than to share that joy with you. I mean, that's what his life was about. And you may not yet agree with Paul's assessment. Maybe you've not yet been blinded by the light. But don't you want an experience about what he's going on about? Don't you want to know what that's all about? Wouldn't you like to experience something so good that it's better than even the best thing you've ever had in your life? Something so good that even your fears seem like next to nothing. That is, you're no longer afraid to live, and you're no longer afraid to die. Because live or die, to live or to die, is to know the inexpressible joy of the love of Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. I want to know Christ. Amen, yes. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death. Woo! If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You should pay attention to that for a minute. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death. Holy moly. Did you hear that? I want to know Christ and the sharing of His sufferings. I can't remember the last time I asked to share in the sufferings of Christ. Can you? When's the last time you asked to share in Christ's sufferings? St. Paul got his wish, didn't he? Can you imagine a faith so fearless as that? It can happen. It can happen. Paul had that kind of faith, and so could you. And so could I. And as far as the rest of that wonderful scripture, well, we don't want to jump too far ahead. We still have Holy Week to get through. But the apostle claims that with holy suffering comes by grace resurrection into eternal life. And didn't the Lord Himself promise it? Where I am, there, what? You may be also. I'm looking forward to that. You? Seek, serve, settle for nothing less than Jesus Christ, and I promise you, Easter will come. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how great is the mystery of faith. How much you love us and how much you want for us. Let us surrender the unnecessary. Let us live beautiful lives. Let us be yours now and forevermore. Amen.